Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Dude, where are you? Pick up your phone. I'm going to a song party tonight, and you're obviously invited, so call me back.
Okay, love you.
What's up, you guys, and welcome back to Emotionally Online, the show for spilling guts and sharing secrets, hosted by yours truly, the one and only Maddie Drosbeck. I'm in a very... I can't tell you how many times I'm recording and a siren interrupts my train of thought, pattern of speech. There's just always something going on outside. And now what the fuck was I going to say? I have no idea. It's the beginning of the episode. We've got a siren interrupting me. I think I was going to say I am in a very sleepover mood this week. I think it's just with the changing of the seasons as it's starting to become fall. I'm like, oh, it's back to school. We've got things to gossip about. I remember. Oh, not to bring up like Coke and Pepsi type books again, but I just love a Coke and Pepsi. I love a little Coke or Pepsi moment. But I remember my friends and I, when we were in like the fourth grade, we had this book that was, it was basically like asking for superlatives. It was like the funniest, most sexy, most likely to be in a relationship or with each other. I don't know. This book that we had that had all these things. And my friends and I, we would fill it out. I wish I still had these things. But it was like, we would fill it out and it was like half honest. But it was really just, we would say all the nice things about ourselves. So it was like the funniest was like, obviously you're the funniest. Most likely to be in a relationship. I think Maddie and so-and-so are going to be in a relationship. Like, it's like, you just say whatever you want to say. And that is so beautiful to me. You're crafting the world in the way you want it to be. It's that Pisces brain, baby. Dream it, think it, believe it, do it. Craft it. It also reminds me, when I was in high school, my fucking biology teacher had a sign handmade, hand printed, printer paper, sign on the wall that just said do to do. What the fuck does that mean? Do to do. Clearly he was not an English teacher. Do to do. I just don't know what he was trying to motivate us to do. The fact that he had to make it himself, he was in Microsoft Word. He was getting in there, turning up the font size to fucking 107, being like, what can I possibly put on this printer paper to inspire these children? One word per paper, and we're going to take them together and throw them on the wall. What does it say? Do to do. I'll never forget it. I will never fucking forget it. So if anybody that I went to high school with has the inside scoop on why the fuck that was on his wall, if anybody had the audacity, nerve, and gall to ask him, sir, what the hell is that? What am I supposed to take away from that? Let me know. Because I never asked, and I probably should have. But to this day, I wake up and I look at my to-do list for the day. I think of all the things on my plate. I think of the life I want to be living, the things I want to manifest, the delusions I'd like to bring into reality. And I just think to myself, do to do. And that's what gets me through the day. Speaking of things that get me through the day, there's something absurd that my parents have done this week that I need to tell you about, because it probably shouldn't bother me this much, but you know when somebody does something and you're like, I shouldn't care about this, but you feel like an itch inside your body to be like, this is wrong. This is so wrong. But it's like so low stakes that you're like, calm down. You don't need to be this invested in this, but I still feel invested. Like I have strong opinions about everything. I wish I cared less about stupid shit, but unfortunately I care about stupid shit and non-stupid shit. I care about everything, okay? I have an opinion about damn near fucking everything. So this week, well, 2 weeks ago at this point, my family dog, my childhood dog, had to be put down. His name was Kobe. We adopted him when I was like 12, I think. So he lived a long life. He was an old dog. It was his time. He basically had like the dog equivalent of Alzheimer's, and was losing his ability to control his body. His hind legs were like not working anymore. He couldn't walk. So it was his time. But it was naturally a sad moment. Pet loss and grief in that department is really difficult. My mom was his like main caretaker person. She was like his chosen one. So I think it was the hardest on my mom because she was the one that really had the most special relationship with this dog. So they put the dog down the day before we go to Vegas. And while we're in Vegas, my mom is applying to adopt a new dog. And that's not the crazy part to me. I think everyone takes their own amount of time to want to get a new pet after they have lost one. And my mom just sent off her last kid to college. She's got an empty house. She doesn't work anymore. She needs something. So the dog is going to be her thing. Okay? Got it. All for that. Love that for my mom. I believe she deserves happiness. And she loves pets. She's a great pet owner. And she deserves that love and joy and happiness in her life. She loves taking care of things. She's born to be a mom. Okay? So she's looking, sending out applications to adopt a new dog. 2 days after we get back from Vegas, it's like probably the 1 week mark of when the other dog was put down. She gets matched with this adoption agency, matches her with a dog and say, we've got you one. You're going to adopt it. We've got it all set up. The dog that just died, his name is Kobe, K-O-B-E, like Kobe Bryant, Kobe. This new dog, he came with this name, but his name is Cody. His name is Cody. Kobe, dead and gone. Rest in peace, brother. We're getting a new dog, and his name is Cody. His name is fucking Cody. I was like, okay, I'm listening, like thinking they're going to be like, oh, we're going to change the name because that would be wild, right? To have one dog named Kobe and then immediately adopt another dog and name him Cody, Cody. And my mom was like, it's a sign, like Kobe picked him out for me and I can't change the name because Kobe personally from the high heavens has selected this dog for me to be like, this is your new mom. This is the dog. And I love that. I think that's so sweet to be like, Kobe picked him out for me. I love seeing things as a sign. Everything is a sign. Everything has meaning. I love that. I think it is so sweet. I think that we can be like, yeah, it's a sign, and also change the name though. I'm like, first there was Kobe and he lived a long, happy life. And 7 days after his death, we found Cody. And now we have two dogs in our family history with practically the same fucking name. So it's almost like he never died. I just find it so disturbing. I don't know why it got me so riled up, but I was like, you guys have to change the name. And then they were like, well, if we're going to change the name, which they don't seem to want to, they were like, if we're going to change the name, we'll change it to Bubba. And I was like, you cannot do that, because that's what they called Kobe. That's what the entire time we had Kobe, very rarely did we actually call him Kobe. We called him Bubba. So I'm like, what do you mean you're gonna call the new dog Bubba? That's Kobe's name. Let's be honest and real. I don't get it. I'm like, don't you guys, isn't it fun? Isn't like the naming part of this fun to you? No, they don't give a fuck. They're like, his name is Cody now. So I guess my family now has a dog named Cody, which is so funny. It's honestly, it's hilarious. Yes, my family dog died. Kobe is dead, but no worries because Cody lives on. Also, my brother's name is Cole. Like, it just seems like there's so many names that sound very similar to each other. Kobe, Cody, Cole. What's going on? We're like the Kardashians. I don't know. I don't know what's going on in my house. To me, like, naming a pet should be, like, fun. It's, like, a fun experience. But maybe my parents are just over it. They're like, we've had many pets and four kids and... this bitch is Cody. Like, we're not renaming him. It is what it is, I guess. I don't know that I stand by it, but anyways, welcome to the family, Cody. Excited to meet ya. I think the craziest part of that, though, was learning that this is not the first time that my mother has done this. Because I guess when she was a kid, they had a dog named Fluffy, and Fluffy died, and then they adopted another dog that they named Fluffy. Fluffy 2. Or was it Sprinkles? I don't know. Fluffy, Sprinkles, there was two of them. One died and they adopted another dog and named it the same name. I'm pretty sure it was the same type of dog too. At the very least, this dog, this new dog, Cody, does not look like Kobe. Kobe was a black lab. Pretty sure Cody is a yellow lab. Or maybe he's a golden retriever. I don't really know. So at least they don't look identical. If they looked identical and they were naming Kobe and Cody, I've got criticisms. So there's your Drosbeck family lore of the week. Also, speaking of Drosbeck family lore, I am in a fucking toony mood. If there's ever been a toony mood that I have been in, it's the mood that I am in this week. Toontown Girls rise and unite. They added a new land, a new area in Toontown. I've been texting my sister every day of the week, like, I'm feeling a little toony right now. And she just ignores my texts. I'm like, Morgan, did you hear me? I said, I'm feeling a little toony right now. You're supposed to say, oh my God, I'm feeling a little toony too. Like, should we log on? Should we go to Donald's Dock? Do you want to go to BossBot HQ? Like, I'm a gamer girl. What can I say? And my game of choice is fucking Toontown Online. Toontown Rewritten, bitch. And I'm fucking fantastic at it, okay? I'm maxed, you idiot. I'm better than anyone on that fucking game. And it's something about this time of year, when the weather starts getting colder, I enter my toony mood. Because when I was younger, my siblings and I, we loved Toontown growing up. It's like the most nostalgic game to me. My parents hated it, though. And they were always like, you cannot play Toontown. Get outside. What are you guys going to do? Sit on the computer and just waste your days away? I'm like, yeah, Mom. I fucking am. I am going to sit on here and drown my Sims in a pool all day, okay? And steal someone's wife in the park. Motherlode, Rosebud, whatever the fuck else I can do. Yes, I do. I want to sit and numb my brain with video games. And then, it's just fun. It doesn't need to be deeper than that. But my parents would be like, oh, they hated it. In Toontown, you had to pay for back in the day. You had to have like a subscription. They would sell them at like grocery stores by the checkout. You could buy a little gift card subscription for 1 month or 3 months to Toontown. And my parents would only buy it for us around the holidays. So I feel like once the weather starts to get colder, I'm like, ooh, it's feeling a little toony around here. Because it was the one time of year that we were allowed to play Toontown. Not that we weren't allowed, just that my parents were not going to buy it for us. And if we bought it for ourselves, they would be pissed at us. And they'd tell us we were wasting our lives. Joke's on you, Mom and Dad. I wasted my life in a different internet variety. Joke's on you, Mom and Dad. I talk to myself for a living. I'm kidding. This is literally the best life I could have ever asked for. Old people just don't be getting it. They just don't totally understand. But one of these days, One of these days, I'm going to convince my entire family to make an account on Toontown and just play it for an afternoon, and I will change the minds of a generation. You get in there, and you make your purple duck, and you meet me at Cellbot HQ, and we'll see how much fun you start having. Okay? We'll go battle some cogs, some flunkies, some spin doctors, some Mr. Hollywoods. And we'll see who's having the last laugh. Okay? So I'm back on Hinge, this we know, and this yesterday, I thought this was funny, someone swiped on me saying that they recognized me from the location we do trivia at, and I was like, oh my god, the fucking paparazzi, the fucking trivia paparazzi have got me. I think I have a really good memory, but people's faces, unless you have a very specific feature, I'm probably not going to remember. You, like, I was thinking after someone swiped on me, was like, I recognize you from trivia. I'm like, would I recognize anybody from trivia? Like, I don't know. I think there's probably a few people from trivia that I recognize, and I only recognize them because they come every week, but not everybody. I know there's like a lot of teams that come every week that I'm still like, which one are you? Like, I know some of them, but yeah, I don't know. I'm like, I'm not retaining people's faces like that. But then I'm also like, okay, you have purple hair. So pretty hard to miss. Maybe that's been like the best part of having purple hair is how easy it is for people to remember me now. Like, yeah, bitch, you know me. An observation that I had this week, I wrote it down on the notes app on my phone to be like, we need to discuss this at length. Even though this is an example of me extrapolating meaning from something where there is none. This is an example of me digging into something that doesn't matter because it is fun to me, okay? So I need you to entertain me for a second and just have fun being a little bit extra and digging too deep into things that are not that deep. We know this, but I would still like to have a conversation about it. But I've noticed on dating apps in general, but especially, I don't know, the people I've seen on Hinge in the last few weeks, why the fuck do so many people say that they are looking for someone? It's like, I'm looking for someone who doesn't take life too seriously. Not to hit you with another do-to-do moment, but what the fuck does that mean? Doesn't take life too seriously. I never know, like, what to take away from that sentiment because I'm like, okay, doesn't take life too seriously. Do you mean you just want someone who's, like, funny, who can have fun? But also, I think that being serious is also quite important. You need to be able to do both. I think in an ideal world, you're able to joke and hee-hee and ha-ha and have fun, but you're also able to be genuine and sentimental and serious, because that's also important. So what do you mean when you say doesn't take life too seriously? I don't know why. It gives me not like other girls energy. Not like other girls. Looking for someone. It's no drama. Not like other women. Doesn't take life too seriously. I'm just like other girls. I need you to know this about me. If there's one thing you need to know about me is that I am just like other girls because I love them. I love all women and I'm just like them. And thank God for that. So if you want someone who's not like other girls, you're looking in the wrong fucking place. Fall is here. It's happening. Fall fashion is making her comeback, which means right now is the perfect time to get into some fall clothing rentals to try out all of the closet staples that you don't have, but you'd really like to experiment with. Nuuly, which is my personal favorite clothing rental service, is just that. It's a clothing rental service that helps you experiment and have a little bit more fun with your clothes. For just $98 a month, you have access to selecting any six styles. You've got thousands of pieces to choose from hundreds of different brands. Anthropologie, for example, is a brand that I love. So much of my closet is from Anthropologie, and they have pieces all over Nuuly. There's so much Anthropologie to rent from on Nuuly, which is awesome because I'm able to test out different styles that I've had my eye on, as well as just discovering things that maybe I wouldn't buy or would be too scared to fully put money in before knowing that it's truly something that I love. So I get to test out the piece for a month and send it back at the end, or if I end up really loving it, I can buy any of my items at a discounted price. They carry sizes up to a 5X, including some petite and maternity styles as well. They have fast, free shipping and returns, as well as a state-of-the-art laundering facility. So if you get any stains on your items while you're renting them, have any troubles with your clothes, don't worry about it. You just send them back in your Nuuly box at the end of the month and they will take care of it, which is awesome when you're someone like me and manages to spill everything on yourself during every meal because you are actually a 3-year-old child in the body of a 26-year-old woman. I just got my first Nuuly box of the fall delivered today, and I threw in a bunch of lightweight knits that I am so excited about. I feel like most of the sweaters that I have are super chunky, so I'm stoked to get to bring some fall into my life while we're still in the 60s and it's a little bit warm in New York. Don't need a full sweater just yet, but just, you know, a little light little sweater for the vibes. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles, but when you use my code MADDIE20, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly. Just go to NUULY.com, that's Nuuly with two U's, and use code MADDIE20 for $20 off your first month. Again, that is Nuuly with two U's and code MADDIE20 for $20 off. All right, let's get into some submissions, shall we? We've got so much going on in this submission box. You guys send the craziest shit in there, and I love you for it. I love you for it. I do read all of it, but we simply cannot talk about everything, and we shouldn't talk about everything. But I pull the submissions every week that I resonate the most with, that I have the most to say in response to, and talk about them on the show. So if there's anything you'd like to talk about, anything you'd like to let the people know, you throw that in that box. You throw it right in that box, and I will maybe read it out on the show. Hello, Maddie. I hope you are having a great day so far. I've been back on dating apps, and a few friends have been giving me advice on how to set up my profile, sometimes giving me tips on how to start conversations / what to reply, etc. We got on the subject of sharing social media with potential partners, and right now, it gives me the ick if a guy from a dating app asks me for my Instagram or Snapchat, maybe even a yellow flag, ? But some of my friends think it's a good idea to share my Instagram on my dating profile, but I am just not convinced. So I'm curious to know what your stance is on sharing socials with people with whom you are talking to or just starting to date. When would be a good time to share socials with a partner? I mean, I'll start by saying I don't think that someone asking for your Instagram is a yellow flag at all. I don't think it is a flag. I think it's just completely, it's a neutral act, right? I don't think it's a green flag. I don't think it's a red flag. I don't think it's a yellow flag. My answer here is going to be different because my social media is a lot more revealing than most people's social media is. I don't mind if people have my social media before we go on dates, but I would prefer if they didn't. If I didn't do social media as a job, though, I would feel differently. The reason why I don't love people having my social media beforehand is because you can do extensive research on me. You can all of a sudden, before we go on a first date, understand my entire dating history because I've talked about it on the internet. I would rather the people I'm dating have those conversations with me face to face and learn things about me through the process of dating me and not through watching my YouTube videos and listening to my podcast. Obviously, you meet people in different ways. So like if I'm dating someone that I met on social media or I'm dating someone that was a friend first, that's different because it's like, okay, they already know me and we have a relationship that was built through them already knowing this part of my life. But when it's something I have to bring someone into and I'm meeting someone off a dating app, I would just rather have the face-to-face connection first before opening the floodgates and letting them consume my content. Not that I have a problem with it. If you're dating me and you want to watch my videos, listen to my podcast, I actually encourage it. I love when people that know me watch my content and support. That means a lot to me. I like it. But when I don't know you and I'm meeting you for the first time, I just want to have the opportunity to introduce myself and get to know you a little bit first without you having access to like so much of me right from the jump. However, if there wasn't as much content of me on the internet, if there wasn't as much like personal stuff that people could figure out, I wouldn't have an issue with sharing my social media with people. I actually think it's nice in a lot of ways to be able to verify that someone is like a real person with real friends and there's like other real people that they really interact with on the internet. I think it's a completely neutral thing. It's whatever you feel comfortable with, really, depending on how much you share on the internet, what information about you someone can get from your socials. But if I was just someone who used social media in a very regular, everyday person sort of way, I wouldn't feel weird about sharing my socials at all. I don't know. It feels kind of unimportant to me, though. It's whatever you feel comfortable with. If you don't feel comfortable sharing, then don't. I don't think it's a big deal either way. Hello, Maddie, fellow sensitive, romantic / deep thinker and feeler here. I've spent most of my life being told I'm an old soul and wise beyond my years, and honestly, I've always found it to be a major compliment. I love the idea of being known for being wise and deep and honest. However, I'm starting to second guess my status in my friends' lives. I've been coined the group therapist, and while I used to find that role sweet, I'm starting to feel my role in their lives is only for advice. It's starting to feel like they don't like me for me, but for my perspective. The irony of this situation is that while I know how to be a therapist and help a friend through things like that, I'm having trouble figuring out how to handle it myself. Have you ever experienced something like this, and how have you navigated it? Thank you for your wisdom. I love your little corner of the internet. Yeah, it's funny. People have always told me things like that too, that I'm an old soul and wise beyond my years. And my reaction has always been like, I feel like you just underestimate young people. I'm like, I don't know that I am an old soul. I really just think that you underestimate how smart and reflective 26-year-olds can be. I don't know. Maybe you weren't this cool at 26, but I fucking am. I get it, though. It's a compliment. I'm sort of teasing here, but I don't know. There is something about those compliments that always make me go, you're being nice, but also young people can do brilliant things. Young people are also smart and reflective and wise people. A lot of things do come with age, but also just because you're young doesn't mean you're a fucking dumbass. Being coined the group therapist, that's interesting. I guess I don't feel like, I don't know that there is a group therapist in any of my like social circles with any of my friends, but I almost feel like that's because we're kind of all that type. I think we're all a very similar type of person. when you listen to my podcast episode with Ashley and Mika, I just feel like you get the vibes, right? You listen to the conversations, the friendship that I have with them. It feels, I don't know, we're all a very similar type of person. I think we're all very thoughtful and caring and reflective and just like big softies. So I don't know that I've ever felt singled out in that way, or like I was providing something to the group that the group didn't also provide to me. I feel like we're all very supportive, reflective people. I give great advice, and Ashley and Mika also give great advice. So it's never like a one way sort of thing, right? When they need advice, I'll give it. When I need advice, they'll give it. And I think it feels like more of a even handoff, even pass off, I suppose. I do understand why you would start to feel like the group therapist in like a bad way if you felt like you weren't getting anything out of the friendships, and you were just sort of there to fulfill a role, or you were there to be supportive and, you know, reflective for other people. But when you needed someone to be supportive or to help you go through your own shit, they're not there, or they don't seem to be there with the same level of enthusiasm. I get why that would be frustrating. I don't think it always has to mean something deeper. I mean, like, it could. I don't know who your friends are or what they're like. But sometimes people just don't know what to say. Sometimes people don't have like a lot of opinions, or they don't have advice to give. Some people are just better listeners than they are advice givers. And I think a lot of times that's all you need, right? I don't think your friends need to have all the answers for you necessarily, or they need to be doing all the unpacking necessarily. I think sometimes listening is good enough, but if they're not doing that, they're not at least being present and listening and like asking you questions and following up. I can understand why that would be frustrating. Maybe it's just more of an effort thing. You feel like you put in more effort to your friendships than they do. You feel a bit more like you are giving more emotionally to the friendship than they are. Because I think it's a really sweet thing to be someone that people trust and want to confide in, and people like your perspective. You make people feel good. I think that's a good thing. I think that's awesome. But if you feel like you don't have people to also fill that role for you, or they don't seem to want to, that's definitely frustrating and can feel hurtful. I'm sort of reading between the lines here and drawing my own conclusions. I don't know exactly what your friendships are like or how you're feeling here, but I think it could be worth having a conversation about if you're hoping for them to be a little bit more supportive and there for you. If you want more feedback, if you want them to just be more inquisitive towards how you feel and things that are going on in your life, I think you can ask for that. I think there are ways to express you desire more closeness with people without making them feel bad or defensive or anything like that. Sometimes it's just like a very minor adjustment. People don't realize that you want more, or that they're not showing up as much as they need to be. I think sometimes like people get so wrapped up in their own lives that they don't realize that they're slacking. Nobody's perfect. Fucking I need these reminders too sometimes. And maybe they just need a reminder, a little nudge that you need them and you love them and you would love if they could be more supportive and more active listeners and participants when you are in need of advice. Hey, Maddie, I enjoy listening to the podcast so much and really feel you bring an empowered perspective to the theme of relationships and dating. So thank you, first of all. I've been seeing this guy and I'm very taken in by him. He's super smart, very sensitive and respectful. He's actually everything I describe for what I would be looking for in a partner. However, when I'm in his company, I feel super nervous and can't display the coolest, most composed version of myself. However, when I'm with other people, I am relaxed and confident and I like my vibe more, but I don't fancy them at all. This led me to think, how normal is it to be nervous and second guess what you're saying in the beginning stages of dating someone that you like? Is it good to be nervous because you're so impressed, maybe slightly intimidated by them, or should I leave it because I think I come across too nervous / not my most authentic self? I'm only like this when I like someone a lot or I'm really taken in by them. Maybe it will take time to calm down around him. Would love to hear your thoughts. Of course, it's normal to be nervous around someone that you really like, that you're in the early stages of seeing. You want to make a good first impression. You want to say the right things. It makes sense to be nervous when you're in like the first stages of meeting someone you think is really fucking cool. That's totally normal. Everyone feels that way to some extent. I will say, I think we are way more critical of ourselves than other people are, / we pick up more on our nervousness or our lack of showing our full selves than other people will. You also don't need to show every part of yourself when you're first getting to know each other. You are slowly getting to know each other. You will slowly start to open up more, be more comfortable the more time that you spend together. I think it's unreasonable and unfair to expect yourself to like be able to show up the same way you would with your friends that you've known for forever that you're not romantically interested in. It takes a while to warm up to and totally open up with someone new so you can show them your full self. Some people open up faster than others, but just because you are not totally opening up just yet or you don't feel like you're being your full self doesn't mean that the version of you that is showing up is not you. Nervousness is a part of us. Nervousness is a part of you. This is a version of you. Obviously it's not the full you, but they don't need the full you right now. I think nervousness is very endearing. I think it's very sweet. And I think that it is part of you. And I don't think it's something you need to wish away. I absolutely don't think it's a reason to stop seeing somebody. I think you are maybe being a little hard on yourself. And I think that you are probably being more critical about things that they are probably not even picking up on. I'll be honest. I do get it though. When I was first starting to date people in college, I remember being very nervous. In ways that I'm not presently. It was like when I was first starting to date and had a lot of insecurities and self-confidence issues, it felt really hard to show up as like my full self because I was so scared of rejection and I so badly wanted to make sure that I could like manicure myself to be the most palatable and the most desirable version of me. But ultimately, that's not you, right? You on your best behavior, you as the most manicured, cool girl version of yourself is not you. That's not fun. And that's ultimately not what the other person is gonna find attractive if they're actually meant to be with you. If you're dating someone and you guys are actually meant to be together, they're gonna love every goddamn part of you no matter how fucking weird you are, right? So, you know, I think there are levels to nervousness. Some level of nervousness is always totally normal and acceptable. I don't think you need to expect yourself to immediately show up to dating someone and getting to know someone. Expect yourself to just fully be, you know, the version of yourself you are around your closest friends. But at the same time, I get that there are levels to nervousness and the kind of nervous that I might get now in the early stages of dating is nowhere near the kind of nervous I used to get when I was younger. I actually remember going out with this one guy. I was probably like 19 or 20. And I remember thinking to myself, like, how is he even going to know if he likes me? Because I don't even really think that I've shown him me yet. I feel like I've shown him a version of me, but it feels so different than the version of me that exists on a day-to-day basis that I'm like, how's he even going to know if he likes me? Because I don't even think he knows. Meanwhile, he's saying all these nice things to me. And I'm like, you're saying a lot of words, but I don't think you know me. I remember that was like panicking me at the time because I didn't feel comfortable totally being myself around him. And I think looking back now, that's probably the most nervous I've ever been dating anybody ever. I never felt that way ever again. It was only him that I felt that way about where it was like, I'm totally not being myself. And ultimately I was feeling that way because he was so wrong for me in every single way. And I think my nervousness and my inability to show up totally as myself came from a place of like knowing that we were not right for each other and knowing that he was not going to like who I truly was at my core, at my heart. And so I think I was just like, I don't know, at that stage in life, I just wanted validation and going on dates with people, even if I knew that like there's no reason for us to work. I just wanted to feel wanted. So it became my burden to be like, why are you not comfortable with him? Why are you closing yourself off? Why are you not being yourself? And it was like, I was getting mad at myself when it's like, the reality is you don't connect with this man at all and you don't feel comfortable around him and you have literally nothing in common. So maybe that's why. So, I mean, there's levels to it. Maybe you're in a situation like that, or maybe this is just standard nervousness at the beginning stages of knowing someone and you're being too hard on yourself. Only you know, but There are two possible ways to look at it for you. Hello, Maddie and fellow sleepover girls, gays, and theys. As most do, I'd like to start by saying how much I love the podcast and how nice it is to hear a soft, lovely person talk about soft and lovely things. Thank you. I am one whole ass adult about the same age you are and certainly grew up very on the internet. I moved a lot and the internet was a regular place to go. The YouTube homepage was truly my hometown and I spent a lot of time on Tumblr and various other internet places. So I really relate to your sentiments of being a person who grew up on the internet and still would classify myself as such. And also have never really known people who were on the internet in the same manner. They were on social media, of course, but couldn't tell you Giovanna Plowman's name. To that point, what was your favorite part of growing up on the internet? Bonus question of how would you describe someone the line of on the internet versus use the internet and social media? This is interesting because there is a clear line from someone who was like, okay, you were on the internet, but were you on the internet? Like there's such a clear difference to me between people who were like internet kids and people who just like had social media. Like the realest human example that I can give for this is Brittany Broski. Brittany Broski was on the internet. Brittany Broski was in the weeds. Okay. That is the most perfect public example I can give you of someone that grew up on the internet. I think to me, the difference is like just how much you are soaking in and picking up. Some people are on the internet as like more passive consumers. They consume what's in front of them and then they don't think about it deeper. Someone who was on the internet explored every corner and crevice of the internet, even the ones they weren't interested in. Like, I don't have any interest in the Paul brothers and I literally never fucking have, but how much Paul brother lore do I have stored inside my brain? Probably a lot, okay? Because I love the drama and I love the internet and there are there's just so much to be said, right? I know everything about everyone on the internet, it feels. And like remembering details from little internet moments, Giovanna Plowman, remembering Giovanna Plowman's name. I'm actually not even going to clarify. I'm not going to add more information. I've definitely talked about Giovanna Plowman on the podcast before, but right now, as I'm saying it, there are going to be people listening who feel that they grew up on the internet, but are listening to me say Giovanna Plowman and have no idea who I'm talking about. And if I describe who Giovanna Plowman is, they might go, oh, I remember that, but they don't remember her name. That to me is the difference. You might have been there. You might have seen it. You might have not. But you're not going to know all the details. You're not going to remember all the details. You're more of a passive user of the internet. You know the big things. It's like you listen to the radio, right? You know the top 50 hits. But do you know, are you in the nitty gritty? Okay. Were you on the internet? And some people were not. Some people were listening and consuming social media like they're listening to top 50 radio hits and not necessarily in the weeds, in the corners, knowing all the drama and all the details. And you can tell, you can truly and honestly tell when someone grew up an internet kid versus someone who grew up like with internet access. It's so funny. Last night, I'll get like fixated on random things and be like, now's the time for me to do it, even though it's like totally not the time whatsoever. But I decided what I want to do for my birthday next year. My birthday is literally in fucking March. It is September. But I was thinking, and something that I would love to do that I think would be so fun for my birthday next year is host a trivia night for all of my friends, except I make up all the questions. They're not questions about me. They're questions about knowledge that I deem important. And so last night I was on my phone writing down like bits of knowledge that I think is important or like questions to facts that are stored in my brain that I think might only be stored in my brain, or you'd have to be a very specific type of person to know these things. And a lot of it is internet knowledge that I'm like, I know this and a lot of people like me know this, but I don't know how many of my friends know this. I really do believe that my like specialty of knowledge is the internet. And it's why shows like H3 are my favorite podcast. Like H3, the entire show is just internet lore. it's a continuous stream of commentary on internet lore, and I love it. It's my most favorite thing. And that's been my life since YouTube came out when I was in the fucking fourth grade. So there's a lot stored up here that you don't even want to know about. Okay. There are eras of the internet that are being relived in the crevices of my brain and maybe nowhere else. So I don't know. To me, it's just, it's kind of like a how deeply were you paying attention sort of thing. How much did you soak up? How much did you dig into even the things that you were not personally interested in? Let's talk about it, America. It's the difference between being someone that saw internet drama happening, whether it was like Dramageddon or like Gabby Hanna and all the, you know, all the many people that she offended and wronged during her time online. It's the difference between being someone who like read the recaps and someone that watched all of the hour, 2 hour long response video back and forths that went on. You had to be there. You had to fucking be there. Anyways, without further ado, I'm going to wrap this episode up because I have to go grocery shopping and be offline because I'm just reminded of how online I am and I needed to go take a break away from devices. So thank you guys for listening to the show. Thanks for hanging out. Mango has just now come to cuddle as I'm ending the show. So everyone say goodbye, Mango. Love you so much. We'll see you next week.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.